We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From KMOX Sports.
The bases are loaded.
This is the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
Swinging along with the left.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm. Because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
He hits one deep to left field.
You bet!
That's a grand slam for Yadier Molina.
It's a slammer!
This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Got a pleasant Thursday evening. Welcome into Sports Open Line. Joe Pott with you tonight until 8 o'clock. And we'll talk a lot of baseball here on Sports Open Line tonight, appropriately enough, with it being baseball season. The Cards split a series with the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll certainly get into that series. Man, last time I was in this seat, I think I was talking about how the Cards were going to overtake the Brewers, and they were getting set. The Cards were getting set to play the Cubs, which they will play the Cubs starting tomorrow. And all of these things, and nothing lined up the way I thought that it might. I guess it sort of did. They did overtake the Brewers, at least for a short amount of time. And then the Brewers went on to lose 8 in a row, and the Cardinals did not get up more than 2.5 games on the Brewers. They were tied going into the series, so they split the series, and they're tied coming out of the series. And it was the third series that these two teams have played already this year. Third four-game series, and they have split everything this year. So maybe appropriate that they are tied for first in the National League Central Division. Coming up here tonight, as I mentioned, we'll talk a lot of baseball. I've got three great guests right now lined up, and just some really cool baseball talk, I think. We're going to talk to Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago, and he covers both the Cubs and the Sox, so we'll talk to him. I want to talk to him just about covering the Sox and covering Tony La Russa. Of course, many of us in St. Louis have had that opportunity. Not really much from me personally, but I think it'd be cool to hear about that, as well as a couple other stories he's written here recently for ESPN, just about a couple of different things in baseball, so we'll get into that with him a little bit. He's got an interesting story. I thought it was interesting on the actual baseballs. Of course, that was a huge topic at the beginning of the year on the baseballs and how they were flying and whether they were different than they were before. They've all been treated differently. So baseballs actually issued an edict, if you will, on how to handle baseballs. So we'll talk to him about that as he wrote a story on that. We're going to talk to Scott Miller as well. He is a New York Times contributor, but also appears on Sirius XM, MLB Network Radio. And I believe, I'm gleaning from his tweets anyway, I think he was in, he was seeing the Angels as Ohtani was having such a great week this week. So we'll get into that. We'll talk to him about it anyway. And the just the absolutely unreal talent that Shohei Ohtani is. And he's got a book that he wrote that came out last fall as well. So we'll talk to him about that as well. He wrote that with a former Cardinal. We are also going to talk to Daniel Guerrero. He is with the Post-Dispatch STL Today, but he covers specifically the Cards minor leaguers. So we will get into that. A couple of Cardinals, in fact, a few prospects have gone into the Baseball America's Top 100 recently. So we'll talk to him about those guys. I also want to check in on Matthew Liberatore, check in on Jake Woodford, some of those guys that, as the Cardinals are splitting the series in Milwaukee, we're talking a lot about the bullpen. We have been talking a lot about the bullpen this week, and those guys specifically could be a help out of the Cardinals' bullpen if they are performing right. Certainly, We know that Jake Woodford certainly has the ability. Matthew Liberatore, not out of the bullpen, but certainly in the starting rotation, as he has been a couple of times this year. And that ultimately then, if he is performing well in the rotation, takes the pressure off the bullpen. So all of those things, both of those things, those guys could help. So we'll talk to him about both of those pitchers as well. We'll look back a little bit at today's game. We'll talk about this series. As I said, we'll talk about the Cubs coming into town as well, specifically get a little bit of a scouting report. Cards have seen the Cubs, but that was back a couple of weeks ago when they went to Chicago for that five-game series. Again, a series that I expected better of the Cardinals out of that series. They did end up winning three out of five games. I thought they could do better than that. They had the doubleheader that was back first weekend in June, as a matter of fact. So it's been a little less than a month since the Cardinals have seen the Cubs, and they have not seen them yet in St. Louis. That changes tomorrow. So we'll get into all of that. A lot of baseball talk here on Sports Open Line on a Thursday night. Hope everything is well in your world. Appreciate you taking some time with us here on Sports Open Line. We'll take our first break, come back, talk a little bit about what the Cards did today and why it didn't work out for them to win a series. We'll do that when we come back at Sports Open Line. I'm Jill Pott. This is your home for Cardinals baseball, KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back in on Sports Open Line. Lots of baseball talk coming up tonight. As I mentioned, this hour we'll talk to Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago. Next hour, Scott Miller and Daniel Guerrero. Scott Miller talking baseball in general. Daniel Guerrero talking some Cardinals baseball and specifically some Cardinals prospects in minor league baseball. Right now we're talking Cardinals baseball as the Cardinals fell 6-4 to the Brewers earlier today in a series, again, that I felt certainly was winnable. You had Corbin Burnes pitching on Thursday night. Check that on Monday night. Go back. We're going the other way. Monday night, the series opener. And you get beat by Corbin Burnes, and that's perfectly understandable as the reigning Cy Young winner. It was a good pitching matchup, Corbin Burnes and Miles Michaelis. Yesterday, they essentially faced a waiver wire claim to start the game. And so you feel better about your chances. They win yesterday. They got a great outing by the bullpen yesterday. In fact, the bullpen really, really good in the series, with the exception today of Drew Verhagen. Nobody gave up a run. And I'm not saying that he was the exception. He only faced three batters, but he walked two and he gave up a base hit. But he gave up the only run in the series from the bullpen. But today, I think, was more about the performance of Dakota Hudson and someone that I had seriously thought had turned the corner, had kind of found that spot where, you know, maybe he needed a little bit this year to come back, get healthy. He went three straight starts, June 1st, June 7th, June 12th, seven innings exactly. He gave up a single earned run against San Diego on June 1st. He gave up a single earned run on two hits at Tampa Bay. Unlucky. That was the one that Tampa Bay won in the walk-off there. He did win the game against San Diego. And then he was not very sharp against Cincinnati on the 12th. That was a game the Cardinals lost. He went seven innings, though, gave up 6 earned runs on 9 hits. But I said even after that game that I think at that point it was more important that you were getting a consistent 7 innings out of Dakota Hudson, and that was ultimately going to do you well, save your bullpen, all of those good things. He came back to pitch at Boston over the weekend, and again, wasn't super sharp. Interestingly enough, earned the win, but he got a ton of offense that night. That's the night the Cardinals scored 11 runs. He went just 5 innings that night, but he did get the win, as I said. Only gave up 2 earned runs on 4 hits. Now, he walked 5 hitters, and that was an issue that night. Probably kept him kept the outing shorter than it would have been had he not walked it. And then today, again, walks just 3 today, but too many hits. And as Oliver Marmol said after the game, too much early in the inning. So he gave up a leadoff double in the first. He had a 1-2-3 second inning today. He loaded the bases with nobody out in the third and got out of it. Got Willy Adames swinging and then got Rowdy Tellez to hit into a 4-6-3 double play. So that saved him in the third inning. Then in the fourth inning, once again, loaded the bases, and he couldn't escape at that time. That was the inning that Lars Nootbaar threw out Andrew McCutchen at the plate. But with Urias and Caratini on base, Tyrone Taylor hit the 3-run home run, and that was essentially the ball game right there. So again, could not escape leadoff runners on base. Even in the fifth inning, he only pitched to 2 hitters. The first hitter was Adames, who hit a solo home run to start that fifth inning before he got Rowdy Tellez to ground out, and that was the last hitter he faced today. So he is someone, as I said, that has been disappointing his last 2 times out, just because I thought that maybe he had turned that corner. He hadn't pitched more than 6 innings. He hadn't pitched 6 innings except for 1 time in the month of May. He pitched 6 innings his very first start in May and then had short starts, 3, 4, and 2/3 innings. He had one that he did go 5 exactly, and that is when then I thought he had turned the corner with the 3 longer starts, but maybe he hasn't. And that is what you're dealing with in the Cardinals' rotation right now. You've got Adam Wainwright and Miles Michaelis. Obviously, those guys, for the most part, you don't worry too much about. Miles Michaelis has been so good this year. Probably a surprise in the other direction as far as how good he has been, and he has been essentially what you saw from Miles Michaelis in 2018. Adam Wainwright has been Adam Wainwright. Andre Pallante has been another surprise. Andre Pallante will start the opener of the Cubs series tomorrow night, by the way, at Busch Stadium. But he has been another surprise. 1.69 ERA, has done a good job in the times that he has started. And then you have Dakota Hudson and Jack Flaherty. This is where I, anyway, am curious about Matthew Liberatore. And that's something that we're going to get into with Daniel Guerrero, is just what maybe the plan is or what they're looking at or looking for from a Matthew Liberatore, and you know, maybe why he's not a better option in the rotation than maybe Jack Flaherty at this point. Flaherty admitted after his last start against Milwaukee that he was frustrated because he felt like he was better than this, and he felt like that he was more consistent with his 2 rehab starts in the minors before coming up to the big leagues, where it really hasn't translated yet. He's got a couple of really short starts, and he's got a 6 ERA over his first 2 starts. He is scheduled to start in Game 3 on Sunday against the Cubs in that Sunday afternoon game. So I'm just curious as to maybe what the thought process is there or what they're looking for or waiting for with regards to Matthew Liberatore. So we'll talk to Daniel Guerrero about that. And as I mentioned as well, Jake Woodford, also somebody I want to bring up and talk about. He has been pitching at Memphis, and see where he's at and whether he is going to be certainly an option for the big league club as well. Someone else we'll probably get into is Paul DeJong. They've talked now for several weeks about the possibility of Paul DeJong coming back up. I don't think he would come back up as a starter at this point because you've got Tommy Edman at short. You've got Nolan Gorman, who made another nice play again today to turn a double play. Actually, that was in that third inning in which the Brewers loaded the bases with nobody out. And then Rowdy Tellez hit a ball to second. And, Nolan Gorman made a tremendous play, spinning play at second base to start the 4-6-3 double play. So not only is he hitting the ball, but he's really starting to come into his own defensively. And I don't think that the Cardinals, I know that they don't want to disrupt that. They don't want to change anything there. You're not taking Tommy Edman out of this lineup. You're not taking his defense off the field. So if you're bringing Paul DeJong up, you're bringing him up to be on the bench, or perhaps as a a trade bait, not trade bait, but a trade piece. And I don't think that that's necessarily out of the question either. So we'll talk to him about all of that. That is coming up again in our 7 o'clock hour. Coming up here on Sports Open Line, though, when we come back right about 6:30-ish, we're going to talk to Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago. We'll talk to him about a lot of Chicago baseball, and we'll get a look at what maybe to expect this weekend from the Cubs series. That's when we come back. It's Sports Open Line here on your home for the Cardinals, Camo X.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
Swinging along with the left. That's a grand slam for Yadier Molina.
You bet!
This is Sports Open Line on KMO X.
Back in on Sports Open Line, Joe Pott with you here on a Thursday night. Lots of baseball talk as promised here on a Camo X tonight. And we get things started here in this segment with Jesse Rogers of ESPN in Chicago. And he covers all things baseball in Chicago, covers a lot of national baseball. And I want to talk to you about all of those things. Jesse, I appreciate you taking some time tonight.
Good to be with you. Let's talk some ball. What's happening?
So the first things I want to touch on are a couple of things that you wrote recently on ESPN. And the first thing that I read was about the actual baseballs, which we heard so much about early in the season. But Major League Baseball has now, I guess, sent out another edict, if you will, on how to treat the baseballs, even to the way they are rubbed up. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I do feel maybe it's like getting into the weeds with your listeners a little bit. But the point of this is, and people wonder, why are they doing this? They're right, all that stuff. It's really to try to standardize things across the league as much as possible. And you know, they heard from players who said every ball is different. So now they're trying to make every ball very similar so there's not that variance. And the reason this has come up is because now that they've taken away the sticky stuff, the feel of the ball is very important. And for people that don't know, for decades now, before every game, it used to be up to 5 days before a game, a clubhouse attendant, used to be umpires, it's been different people, but basically the home clubhouse attendant would take actual mud from the Delaware River and rub up every baseball to be used in the game. Because you have to understand, when they come out of the factory, they are slick. You can't just give them to a pitcher, he's not going to get a good grip. So, of course, pitchers used to use all sorts of sticky stuff to get the grip. The mudding part of it didn't matter as much. Now that you don't have, you can't use the sticky stuff, how they muddy up the ball before every game matters more. And what the league did is they had all 30 teams send in video of their guys muddying up the ball, and each one had a completely different technique, some much better than others. And they figured, let's standardize this, just like they're trying to standardize the ball even further by putting them in humidors. Let's see if we can make every ball in every game as close to possible the same, even though that's impossible because they come out of the factory, you know, slightly different, the laces and all that stuff. But they're trying to standardize the methods of storage and handling as much as possible. And it's all in response to the players, you know, post-sticky stuff world. So hopefully that wasn't too wonky for you. But that's the goal of this thing, not to mess with the ball, but to make it the same across the league as much as possible.
Yeah, I just thought it was crazy that they're actually advising, you know, which way. I mean, reading the article was great. I enjoyed it. I'm a baseball guy, but, you know, the fact that it actually explained painting the entire ball with the mud and then which way you're supposed to be, you know, moving it through your hands, I thought it was interesting that they are legitimately taking that much care to, as you said, try to get these balls as consistent as possible.
Yeah, Michael Hill, who directs on-field operations, was having a one-on-one phone call with each team the other day to instruct. I think he actually got on the phone with the clubhouse attendant, maybe even a Zoom, to instruct exactly how to do it. Now, a lot of teams were doing it close to right, but they came up with the exact right way to do it to get the best grip, but also not, you know, make the ball into something else. And I had a source show me exactly what it was. It's the two of your fingers, you know, your, I guess, second and third finger, you'd call it, right? Putting mud on them first and then putting it all over the ball and then a circle rubbing motion between your hands with the ball to get it, you know, across the whole thing and to get into the leather. Again, we're getting into the weeds. But, yes, I thought it was entertaining and interesting and nerdy in a way. How exactly they were instructing this. There'll be somebody on site to monitor. They'll be sending videos back in. It's just another thing on the league's plate, which I think some people are making fun of, but I understand the goal is to try to standardize the baseball as much as possible.
Sure. No, absolutely. The other national story, if you will, that I enjoyed was you talked to Brian Snitker about, you know, kind of the approach he took. The Braves were very average until, of course, ripping off 14 consecutive wins. But I thought it was a very interesting approach that he took to a closed-door meeting after they, when they were in danger of being swept by Arizona recently.
Yeah, I mean, let me just say a personal bias. I love Brian Snitker. No, I mean, that's not really a personal bias. That's a baseball
sure.
bias. He's obviously a good manager. He just won a World Series, and he's kind of, you know... He combines the old school with the new school. I mean, he will personally one-on-one kind of complain about the old, you know, I miss some of the old days. But then obviously he manages today's player the right way. And I think he's kind of like anybody that's a little bit older. We do sort of miss some of the things about the old days, but understand the game evolves and everything. In any case, the conversation I had with him actually, you know, sort of turned into one about championship hangovers a little bit. And I'm sort of very interested in that topic. I covered the Chicago Cubs in 16 and then in 17 when they tried to repeat. And I saw them sleepwalk through the first half and then turn it on in the second half. And that's what you kind of have to do after you win a championship. You can't push the buttons right away in March and April and May. Now, in the Braves case, I think Snitker decided he had to move a little quicker because the Mets were running away with things. The Cubs were 5 out at the All-Star break in 17. That's not so bad. You know, the Braves were, ten and a half out, right? So they could have been done, at least in terms of the division. So he waits a couple months. He sees that things aren't going well, and then he has that little meeting. And I like what he said, though. He's like, and this is such a good way of presenting it to your team. Hey, guys, this is just more about me than you. I'm not sleeping well at night. I got to get this off my chest. So he kind of makes it less about, hey, you guys are stinking up the joint, and I just don't feel good right now. My stomach hurts, or I can't sleep, and I got to get this off my chest. And that message actually works. You can't lay the hammer down to a team that just won a World Series. It just that's just not going to work. But you have to lightly, you know, gently tell them, look, I know you wish it was October again. That was so much fun last year. But we have to grind through 162 before we get there. And if we wait any longer, so to speak, wait, you know what I mean, we're going to be 20 out and maybe in the third wild card if we're lucky, and not even that. So I just love the touch that he had. I saw it with Joe Maddon in 17 with the Cubs. Here's Snitker, hangover season, looking for a repeat, and they're back in the race.
I thought it was great as opposed to, you know, you talk about maybe wanting some of the old school and, like, you know, maybe flipping the buffet table over, right? And he sort of took the approach of, like, look, relax. We're the defending World Series champions. You're pro ball players. We're going to be fine. And I thought it was great. And like you said, clearly it has worked, and they have responded.
Yeah, one thing I didn't really touch on, or I didn't even really ask about it, it's 2 months later into the season, was the Freddie Freeman effect. I wondered if there was a Freddie Freeman hangover. I went in the locker room thinking about that. But then the hangover stuff popped up, and it made a little bit more sense to me. I'm sort of interested in that. You know, nobody's repeated. And then when he got in a long time, and then when he offered up to me that he actually studied the Blue Jays for whatever reason, he chose them, the 92-93 Blue Jays who repeated. He told me he meant to call Cito Gaston, the manager of that team, and he never did, but he did investigate and study their roster, and he saw one thing was, 14 new players from one year to the next. And I completely agree with that. Yes, you could try to run it back everybody again, but that hasn't worked in a long time. Changing the vibe up, I think, works. Changing the personnel certainly could work. You bring in maybe some older veteran that's never won it before, and now you have a new cause. Like, you need to change your message a little bit, or at least the personnel a little bit after you win one. unless you're just a juggernaut, you're trying to go back-to-back, but that just rarely happens.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN Chicago, with us here. Before I get into other stuff, I could get into a ton, but let me ask you about the Cubs. The Cardinal fans haven't seen the Cubs here in St. Louis yet. Of course, they did play a five-game series in Chicago at the beginning of the month. Cardinals won three of those five games. There's a ton of new faces in this Cubs lineup. One of the guys that stuck out to me that weekend anyway was Christopher Morel. Very good at the plate, but he's also a versatile guy. I think he played second and center field both in that series.
Yeah, he's like kind of the first guy of this mini retool or rebuild that they're in that you say, oh, he's got the it factor. And that scout's talking to me. In fact, I've told the story a couple times, but a scout came up to me this like 2-3 weeks ago. So it's still a while ago at this point. And he said, who's the best player on the Cubs? And I said, oh, Ian Happ, you know, Wilson Contreras, obviously. And he said, well, let me reword it. Who would you want going forward? And he stopped me before I could even answer. He said, I'd want Morel. Mm-hmm. That's the guy you kind of can, you know, whether you say build around or at least build with. I think that, you know, they may have a right fielder and a center fielder if he sticks in center, Morel, but he could play, you know, Suzuki and right, Morel. And so now you start to see some pieces for the next team that might contend. So, yeah, energetic player, great bat speed. He's probably going to have to learn to lay off some more pitches. Like, he's gotten a little bit more aggressive with the success that he's had. So he'll go through his ups and downs. But all I can say, and I think your listeners will understand, when you see a guy that has the it factor, you kind of know it. And with him, we're feeling it, we're seeing it, and I think he'll stick. Now, Suzuki got off to a great start. He got hurt. He came back down to earth. So you have to give people big sample sizes. But when I hear scouts say, hey, I would take that guy moving forward, that gets my attention. So, yeah, I think he's for real. We'll see what the ceiling is in the coming years.
So one other thing before we go away, Guillermo Martinez of the Blue Jays the other day gets tossed handing out the lineup card because of the umpiring. Have you, A, seen that? I've seen it only in a minor league game as far as the ejection at a lineup exchange. So have you seen that in the big leagues before? And just your general thoughts on what we have seen as far as the umpiring has been this year.
Okay, I have a couple thoughts. I was at that game the other day. So that's the first one that I can remember getting ejected before the game. It's happened plenty of times. Someone did remind me, I don't think I was at this game, but Mark Parent, former White Sox player, he was a catcher, came up to give the lineup card. And listen to this one. He came up with some charity auction winner who won to come up and help exchange the lineup card. And Parent got thrown out with the charity winner standing right there. So I've heard stories. I know it's happened. I can't recall being at a game. I was there the other day for White Sox when it happened. It was just yesterday, right? And I actually did not see it, you know, live. I was, you know, I'm looking at my whatever. I'm having a hot dog. It's before the game. And then I look up, and the next thing I see the commotion. So I had to go back and look at what happened. It was hilarious. I'm a guy that understands what the pressure umpires are under to get to your next point. It's a really difficult job, and there's more technology and slow-mo replays and all that stuff than ever. So, and the other part of it is, look, it's 162 games, not 60 like we saw. So it all evens out in the end. I truly believe that. I even play probably without video replay because I think it all evens out. And I know that's not the best answer. If Eddings had a tough night, I'm looking from the press box. I'm not really paying that much close attention. Then I start seeing people on Twitter and stuff. And I start, yeah, okay, maybe he had a tough night. I think it doesn't help you the next day to get tossed.
Right.
You know, you're not going to get more calls that day. That's for sure. I'll tell you one thing. Those umpires stick together. I mean, they stick together whether they dislike each other personally or not. They stick together professionally. And there's no way the Blue Jays got more calls the next day. But I get, you know, have blown off steam and all that stuff. So you're probably not going to get me to rip the umpires. But I get it. I understand it. And, you know, maybe there's changes coming. Maybe, you know, people have suggested there should be full-time home plate umpires that are the best of the best. And obviously I think there's going to be that challenge system coming in with the automatic strike zone. I don't think we're going to go full automatic strike zone. So
are you in favor of that, or do you prefer, you know, as we have it, as far as, you know, for lack of a better term, the human element?
Yeah, well, first, I think if you heard me before, I kind of like the human element. Mm-hmm. But I will say I prefer it all or nothing. I don't know. I don't know if I like the idea of the challenge system. But, like, you get three challenges, and what if it's, you know, the same hitter every night? I don't know. It seems weird. I've seen it in action. It does move quickly, the challenge system, meaning you only get three per game. The batter says something to the umpire. The umpire looks up to the press box, and they tell you if the call was right or not, and it's almost instantaneous. I think that's going to be the system they use, but I'm like, why go halfway? Why not just go full automatic right. calls and strikes? There are problems with that. They can't get the geometry of the box exactly right, and there'll be mistakes, and then everybody will go crazy over that as well. So, again, my fallback on replay on all this is 162. You usually find out who the best teams are. So that's kind of my attitude.
Jesse, I appreciate the time. I appreciate a little intel, on the Cubs, but just talking a little baseball, certainly appreciate that and you doing that. It's at Jesse Rogers ESPN on Twitter. I'd encourage you to go follow him, but thank you so much for the time tonight.
Okay, take care. Talk to you soon.
There is Jesse Rogers, ESPN Chicago, spending some time talking some ball. We appreciate it here. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here in the 6 o'clock hour. We've got plenty more baseball to talk about, plenty of more guests, a couple more guests anyway, in our 7 o'clock hour as well. It's Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott. This is Camo X. Back in on a Thursday night, Camo X Sports Open Line. Joe Pott with you, wrapping things up here in our 6 o'clock hour. Appreciate hearing from Jesse Rogers. I really did find it interesting. I know that he was saying that it was getting into the weeds a little bit. But if you're a baseball guy at all, you realize, you know, that that's always been a thing, rubbing up the baseballs. But to go as far as to tell the teams what process to use or what approach to use to rubbing up the baseball, I thought that was fascinating. And to go as far as we're going to have a Zoom to explain to these clubhouse attendants how they need to be mudding up the baseball. And then there's a certain amount of hours. They go back into the Rawlings box, so they're all divided up. That box goes into the humidifier. So they are really taking this a long way to try to, I think, really, yes, to try to make it a consistent feel on the baseball, but they're also trying to, you know, make it less of an excuse, I think, so that there is less complaining about it from the players, and they basically are trying to take the blame off of themselves. We have done everything that we can as a league, as an organization, to make sure that these baseballs are as consistent from Busch Stadium to Great American Ballpark to Coors Field, all of those things. But I did find that super interesting, and that was an ESPN.com piece that Jesse wrote. So it's 7, or in the 7 o'clock hour, rather, we're going to talk to Scott Miller, who is a New York Times contributor, baseball guy, but also is an analyst on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM. He wrote a book with Bob Tewksbury, which I have not personally read. I would like to, but we'll talk to him about writing that book and specifically about writing it with the one-time Cardinal, Bob Tewksbury. He had been around a lot in Major League Baseball, but he had his longest stint with the Cardinals and probably his most productive stint in Major League Baseball with the Cardinals as well. And we'll get into the Cardinals minor leaguers as well with Daniel Guerrero, who writes for the Post-Dispatch, STL Today. They're really kind of extending their coverage as far as the minor leagues go, and he's been their guy. And so there's so many guys that we can talk about, including guys that are obviously currently doing a ton for this Cardinals team. Juan Yepez, as well as Nolan Gorman, have both certainly lived up to whatever hype there was leading into it, and more so probably for Nolan Gorman, less so for Juan Yepez. But Juan Yepez was the hitter of the year in the Arizona Fall League last year, so he really started getting on people's radars, and he's done a great job as well, certainly at the plate, and both of them have been huge parts to what the Cardinals are doing. Lars Nootbaar, to some extent as well, he has been up and down several times, currently up with the team because Tyler O'Neill is on the injured list. But as I mentioned before, I'd like to get into some of the pitchers as well and what their plans are for some of these pitchers, specifically a Jake Woodford or a Matthew Liberatore, and maybe why we haven't seen a little more from Matthew Liberatore, more consistent Matthew Liberatore in the major leagues. Because at this point, those are the kind of things, those are the kind of guys that are going to help this Cardinals team. Cardinals start the weekend, will start the weekend in first place, tied for first in the National League Central with Milwaukee after splitting the series with the Brewers, splitting another series with the Brewers, and they have now split all 12 season games, all 12 games this season that they have played with the Brewers, and both teams are 40 and 32. The Brewers are getting set to take on the Toronto Blue Jays in Milwaukee. The Cardinals, of course, have the three-game series with the Cubs, and then they will play Miami, who is currently four games under 500. The Marlins will come to Busch Stadium to start a series on Monday. So again, you feel like, anyway, it is an opportunity to take advantage of those teams in front of you, while Milwaukee, as I said, has Toronto, and Toronto currently is as close in the National League or American League East as anybody else is. They're 12 games back. They're nine games over 500. They've got essentially the same record as the Brewers and the Cards, and they're 12 games back, rather, in the East, because the Yankees just don't lose. They are 51-18. In fact, just underway now against the Houston Astros. They've got the National game, and that one is 6-3 right now. I think both teams hit three-run home runs in the first inning tonight. So, yeah, the Yankees continue to roll. So the Blue Jays are a very good team, as the Cardinals know as well. So, again, could this weekend be an opportunity? This whole week, this homestand at Busch could be an opportunity for the Cardinals to maybe gain some more control in the National League Central. So Scott Miller coming up, Daniel Guerrero coming up, our 7 o'clock hour coming up here. It's KMOX, it's Sports Open Line. We'll continue it coming up here on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.